We're going to talk about methods, a little bit about the method of praying for people. I pastored for about 26 years, and most of that time I prayed for praying for the sick, and there was people healed from time to time. But generally what we do is we invite people, like in a church service, down to the front to be, if they want healing. Really, we shouldn't say how many want to be prayed for. We should say how many want to be healed, you know. And then we would take a bottle of oil and put some on their forehead and just start praying for them. Oftentimes not even knowing what they, their problem was. So in a sense, we didn't know whether they were healed or not. We prayed for them. They went and sat down. We went back up the platform and so forth. But in 1986, when Brother Seagrave started these courses and he asked me to help to work with him, we began to do some digging and searching and seeing what others were doing and so forth. We come across some things I want to share with you today. And even and the Lord, through the years, there's been people healed, that I've seen healed. And I've been healed myself instantly in several situations. Probably most of you have here too. But we began to utilize the things that we learned and saw that the rate or the number of people that was healed was much greater. And we saw some instantaneous things that were just absolutely, we would say, biblical miracles. And so we just want to share those things with you today to help you be more effective. Pardon? He told me it was just for recording. I'll do it. Okay.
All right.
So you won't hear any, it's not, you don't need it to hear sound. My voice is plenty loud enough, I hope. And if you'll use some, don't be afraid, you have to do some boldness, a little bit of boldness, you'll see greater results. Important thing is to we want to do things like the Bible says, as close as we possibly can, because that's there, the examples of the Scripture and so forth. And why don't we just pray and ask God right now to be here with us and to bless and to lead us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for Your presence here today and the beautiful service. God, we've been blessed already today mightily. Lord, and we thank You for that. We ask now that Your Spirit would move here. I pray for wisdom, for understanding and direction and anointing and ministering today Your Word. We just pray that, God, these that are here who have an interest in being used of You will gain knowledge and understanding that will help them be more effective, Lord, in praying for the sick. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Mark, chapter 16, it's a familiar passage to most of us. Jesus gives the Great Commission. And it's given in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Luke, and Mark. And this is the Mark statement on that. It says, and this is Jesus speaking, this was after His resurrection, just before He ascended. He said, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And the point that I want to get across to you right here on by reading this verse is the fact that praying for the sick and the miracles and gifts of the Spirit are for anyone that is saved, that believes. It's not just for the ministry, preachers, the pastor. It's for the saints of the church. Because, you see, in the Old Testament, which you're well aware of, in the Old Testament it was a select ones that God chose to move through and to work through. But in the New Testament, with the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, as Peter quoted Joel, he said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And twice he said that they're going to prophesy. And so the difference between the Old and New Testament is tremendous because God is now dwelling in us. He's not just working and moving through a few people. He's working through every Spirit-filled believer. We believe in the priesthood of the believer. And so we have to realize that and accept that fact. And Jesus said it. He didn't say it was for a few. He said, whoever believes will be able to do these things. And one of the things he mentions is to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, in praying for people to be healed or ministering to people to be healed, one of the greatest obstacles is not being discouraged. Because what happens is that, you know, you might go and pray for half a dozen people and you ask them, well, you know, did the pain go? Well, I still got the pain. And so you don't see at the present time any definite healing. So you say, well, evidently God's not going to use me along that line. You can't stop with five or six or a dozen. You've got to just keep praying and praying. And the more you pray for, the more it's going to be healed. We often say it this way. If you pray for 10 people and one gets healed, praise God for it. Because, you know, you can look at the 9 that didn't get healed, or you can say, thank God for the one that got healed. And if you were the one that got healed, you'd be happy about that, see? Praise God. One man that I read after who was mightily used of the Lord in the gifts of the Spirit, he made this statement, and he was a man that was in big meetings around the country and so forth. And he said, you know what I have learned, he said, is this, that in some meetings, God does a little. And in other meetings, God does a whole lot. But he said, I have learned to give God the glory whether he does a little or a lot. Because the bottom line is that of ourselves, we can do nothing. But the other side of that is that what God does, he generally does it through us. Through men and women. That's his purpose. That's his plan. And that's why he goes on to say here in Mark that they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. And then, of course, we know in the reading in the book of Acts and then also in the epistles how that the gifts of the Spirit were manifested. Paul said to the Corinthian church, you come behind in no gift waiting for the coming of the Lord. And then into the church at Galatians, he spoke. He said, how is it? He said, he that worketh miracles ministereth unto you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you. How does he do it? By the hearing of the law, or by the hearing of faith, or the works of the law? It's by the hearing of faith. So God was active in those churches, in those early churches. And he's active today. Hallelujah. The first session we had, there were some people that were healed there this morning. And yesterday, we know there was people healed, and through the week. And, of course, this church has been a church that has given itself to these things, and so there's been many mighty healings that have taken place. And if you're from Stockton here, which some of you are, you know, you have a beautiful opportunity to be used of the Lord because there's so many people. You've got a lot of people to pray for. Now, a lot of times, if you come from a smaller church, there's only a few limited opportunities. So the more you can pray for people, the better it is. And you'll see God move more, of course. Now, it was mentioned out there, I think Brother Nathaniel Haney, it was Brother Simeon, mentioned the fact that God is a God of variety. Sometimes we're locked into the same way of doing things. But all we have to do is look into the Scripture and notice, even in the Old Testament, when Naaman came to Elisha for healing, he had a preconceived idea as how it was going to happen. He thought Elisha was going to come out and go through some kind of a thing and healing. Well, Elisha, he was following God, of course. He didn't even go out. He didn't even meet the man. He sent his servant out. He said, just go right on down the road to the Jordan River, dip 7 times. And Naaman got mad. And he said, if I'm going to dip in a river, I should have done that up in Syria. Because it was, you know, they got cleaner waters up there. And one of his servants said, listen, He said, look, you know, you've got this leprosy. You're going to die. You've got to have help. And why don't you do what he says? And so Naaman did it. And when he came up out of the water, the seventh time, the Bible says that his skin, you know, was like baby skin. He was healed. It would sound strange today if someone was coming to somebody that was ministering to him, and the person doing the ministering would say, I'll tell you what you do. You go home and stand under the shower for an hour, and you'll be healed. You'd say, wait a minute, what's this, you know? But it's sort of like Brother Nathaniel Haney just was talking about Brother Barnes and how he didn't pray for at that time, you see. And so we see in the life of Jesus and in the ministry of the apostles, which is the record we have. But that doesn't mean other people weren't being used, because we know they were. But, like for instance, the woman who had the issue of blood. She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. Who would ever think of anything like that? See, she more or less laid down the principle or the way she was going to be healed. And said, I can do it. And so she did. She pressed through, touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. And Jesus turned around and he said, woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. And so that was a unique thing. Now, when you think about other situations, the Bible says a whole multitude sought to touch him, for all who touched him were healed. And then sometimes a physical touch is not involved, but a point of contact is. Many were healed as Peter's shadow passed them. They brought the sick, laid them in the streets, and just the shadow of that man going by healed them. Well, we would say today, well, God doesn't do that today. But why not? I know there was a woman many years ago that was mightily used of the Lord in the healing ministry. And one of my relatives was a young person then and was going to the school where this woman was in charge and so forth. And she said when she would come into the room, said you could feel the presence. When she walked by you, she said you could feel a presence of God that would come on you while she walked by. And so, anyway, God can do what he wants to do. That's the important thing that we're trying to emphasize here. Jesus touched and healed a leper. Jesus healed a man of deafness and a speech impediment. Brother Nathaniel, I think it was, or again, I know it was Simeon, wasn't it? It was mentioned the varieties. But this one person that was deaf, Jesus took his fingers and stuck them in his ear. Put them in his ear. And said, be opened. And his ears were opened. And the other one, maybe it was the same man. There was two different instances there. This one man was deaf and also dumb. Now, his dumbness was attributed to a spirit, an evil spirit that was on him. And he spit upon his tongue. Now, we wouldn't advise anything like that unless you really were, in the mind of the Lord. But the point is this. It's been said that Jesus prayed for four different blind men in the Bible, and he did each one different. See, some he touched their eyes, others he didn't. And then he prayed, of course, twice for that one man. So we shouldn't feel bad about having to pray more than one time for a person. And we have to encourage the person also that, well, just because you didn't get your healing right now, come back. Because what happens when we go to a doctor? They're practicing medicine. We don't have a problem with that. People don't have a problem with that. They're actually practicing medicine. That's what they say. And so, well, we'll try this. Try this pill. It's $100 for this bottle. Try that. When that's gone, well, it didn't work. Well, here's another $100 or $200. And so we go back and back and back. They're trying to find a solution. But sometimes when people come to be prayed for, if it's not instant, well, evidently God doesn't want to heal me. But just like it was said out there, the more praying we do, the more likely the person is going to be healed. But we like to see it when it happens all at once, one time, because that's almost like a miracle. It's just instantaneous. I personally have been healed instantaneously several times. How about you? Anybody here? All right. That's wonderful, isn't it? Praise God when that happens. Marvelous when it's just instant like that. And but it's not always that way. But he said, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Sometimes they're going to be instantly healed, but he said they shall recover. And of course, we've all recovered from our sicknesses or we wouldn't be here today. And sometimes it can be hastened, you see, by the prayer. Sometimes we know the body is made by God to where it heals itself to a great degree in most things. But there are things that comes upon the body. It needs the touch of the Lord. And when people are prayed for, they heal quicker. And some things they wouldn't have been healed of if they hadn't have been prayed for. You can come in if you want to come in. Now, let me just kind of go through how that we have learned to pray for people. Like I said, there was a time when we never asked anybody, and of course, as a pastor, I knew some of the problems that people had, but many times I didn't. Especially here in Stockton, we prayed. You know, I didn't know that many people. There's so many, and so we have to ask, what is the problem? What are we going to pray for? You know, in Mark chapter 11, Jesus said, "Speak unto the mountain." And so we got to find whatever that sickness is. That's a mountain, and so we're going to have to speak to that. We need to know what we need to speak to. So we ask the person. We carry on what is known as an interview. Now, when I first heard about this concept, I had a little problem with that, but I found out that it works. So we ask them what their problem is, and I realize sometimes people have situations in their bodies where they don't want to share it, and it certainly doesn't need to be shared with the public. But maybe if it's a woman, she has things she wouldn't want to share with the man. She could, you know, as your women, they're involved in healing. God works through women just like He does men, and so they go to a woman. Or if it's a man and she doesn't want to say what it is, then you just would pray general prayer. That's all you can do. But the more you know, the better it is, because you know how to speak to that. So anyway, you find. Then you might ask, well, how long have you had this? Have you been to the doctor? What has the doctor said? Sometimes when people have had sicknesses for a long time, let me use as an illustration. Maybe somebody has got a bad back problem, and they've had it for a long time, they can't get rid of it. They've been to the doctor, and the doctors can't help them. Find out, well, when did this happen? How did it happen? Were you in a wreck, car wreck or something, an accident of some kind? And if they say yes, and that's when that came, sometimes that's when the enemy came in, was able to get in and afflict them. And so if that's the case, then we want to rebuke that. Or we want to, not rebuke, but we want to command Satan to loose them. And that spirit of infirmity to go from their body, because that's when it came in. So anyway, the interview helps, and I'll get a little more on that in just a little bit. Then what we do, like one man that I read after said that they were praying for a saint in the church. There's a group around, and this woman was elderly, and she had been a faithful woman. And so he said, we were praying, we were telling God, you know, what a wonderful woman this was, and if there's anybody, you know, that deserved healing, she does, and so on and so forth. And he said, while they were praying like that, he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, what are you trying to do? And he said, well, Lord, we're trying to heal this woman. Get her healed. He said, it's not working, is it? And he said, no, Lord, why isn't it working? And the Lord said, have you ever seen how healing was done in the Bible? So he went back and began to search the Scriptures and the Gospels and Acts. And what he found out in healing, in most cases, it wasn't a prayer that was prayed, it was a command. See, Jesus said, be opened to the ears. What do you want to happen to the ears? You want the ears to open if they can't hear. Be opened. And as you go through the Scripture, and look at these, you'll see that that's true. Peter and John went to the gate, and there was that man that was lame from his mother's womb that was laid there. And first of all, Peter said, look on us. Now, that's another important thing. You want to keep your eyes open. Generally, what we do, and even though I've been in this for years, and what I'm telling you is what I've followed for years, I still have to remind myself, keep your eyes open. There's things we would miss
if we had our eyes closed. And there's no place in the Bible that says we're more spiritual or we're closer to God or anything that we have if we close our eyes. And so we want to keep our eyes open. And he said, look on us. So he was looking at him. And so that's important. And maybe even tell the person to keep their eyes open. I know years ago there was a young man that was marvelously healed in our chapel service here of a mighty miracle, and he missed it because his eyes were closed. But we that were praying with him, we saw it because our eyes were open, how God straightened his arm out. It was like this. And he had a pin in it from the time that he'd been arm wrestling in high school and blew his elbow out, and they had to put a pin in it. And so when it somehow that pin was in there too long, they couldn't take it out, and his arm was about like that. He couldn't straighten it out. We saw God straighten that arm out. Praise God. And it's still straight today, and that's been many, many years ago. Well, those of us that had our eyes open, he had his eyes closed, so he missed it. We saw the arm go out. Praise God. And we asked him, well, what did it feel like? And he said, it felt like there was a hand that was moving my arm. So keep your eyes open when you're praying for people. Amen. You're not always going to be, there's not always going to be something that would be obvious to the eyes. I understand that. But anyway, then he said to that man, he said, rise up and walk. And then when Peter came visiting through the communities, and he came to the town where Dorcas or Tabitha was, she'd passed away. She was dead, and the people were weeping and crying and telling Peter what a wonderful woman she was. Peter went in, put them out, went in, and he knelt down and prayed. I believe, I wasn't there, but I have to believe that what Peter said, Lord, do you want to raise this woman from the dead or not? And he must have got an affirmative answer, because when he got up, he didn't pray for her. What did he do? He said, Tabitha, arise. There it was. She woke. She came back to life. When Paul prayed against the sorcerer, Elymas in Cyprus, and Paul simply said, thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And blindness came on that man. Another time, when Paul was at Lystra, in the crowd there, he looked out, and here was a man that was crippled, that was on the floor. And the Bible said that Paul perceived that the man had faith to be healed. Now, that would be like a gift of, one of the gifts of knowledge, something like that. Discerning of spirit, maybe. I don't know. But it was one of those other gifts that was an operation. He perceived that the man had faith to be healed. He said, stand upon thy feet. He said it with a loud voice. No prayer. Just stand upon thy feet. And the man jumped up. And so the command, we see it there. That's what the Lord told this man I was referring to. He said, check it out. See how it is. You know, we read those things and we don't even pay any attention. But that was our example. Oh, we'll do it our way. Let's go ahead and do it. The Lord won't stop us. We'll just go ahead. But we won't see the effects if we'll follow the Lord's way. Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. That's a man that fell out of the balcony while Paul was preaching and was dead. Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. He did. And that's basically what the Lord said. He said, I want you to go and heal people. Well, we know that the Lord's the one that does the healing, but we're the instrument that He uses. And so we would, then we would speak to that problem, whatever it is. Now, the other thing is that, like Jesus, He put His fingers in this man's ears. And so another thing that's a part of it, Jesus said, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And this isn't always going to work. You can't always do this. You have to, if it's not good decorum or something, especially with men praying for women or vice versa, you can't always put your hand where the problem is. But the closer you can get it to where the problem is, the better it's going to be. Because there's something conveyed through your hands and of the Spirit. I don't know. It's just there and it happens. I was praying for a woman. It's been a number of years ago when I was here in Stockton. She was in another church. I was asked to preach there, and so I preached on signs and wonders. And we had prayer afterwards. And she had a pain in her, like here, about right in here. And she'd had it for 11 years. She had been to the doctor. She had had many, many tests, but they they didn't know what caused that pain. And so what I did, I had her to put her hand right there, and then I took my finger. You don't have to have your whole hand. Just my finger is all, and I touched it on her hand. And we'd been studying about these things, and I had read where someone figured out or said that there is such a thing as the spirit of pain. There's no physical cause. They can't find what it is. But there's a spirit of pain. If it's a spirit of pain, it comes from the enemy. And I'm sure that what I did, I said, in the name of Jesus, spirit of pain, go from this body. I probably said, Satan, I break your hold right now. And pain go from this body. And the Lord healed her. Now, I wasn't aware of it at the time. Because I don't know if she showed any emotion or said anything, it was gone at that point or not. Because it was 1 year later. 1 year later, I was asked to come preach there again. And when we drove up, my wife and I drove up, this woman's husband came, and I didn't know who he was, but he said, Brother Dugas, said, when you was here a year ago, you prayed for my wife about that pain. And he said, you know, God healed her. She's been healed ever since. So during that service, they had testimony service, and she stood and talked about this. And she said, you know, the thing that I couldn't understand, it was such a simple prayer. That's why I'm telling you this. It wasn't really a prayer. It was a command. She hadn't seen that before. What did she see? Coming down, long prayer. You know, sometimes the prayer, the longer the prayer, the less our faith. It's an indication of a lack of faith. But I'll tell you, I guess one way to look at it, we have to just tell ourselves, hey, if a command won't do it, like the Bible said, a 15-minute prayer won't do it. God's not impressed with our long prayers. So you speak to it. So you find out what it is, and then you speak to that, and you try to get your hand there. Now, I want to go just a little bit further here in this, because sometimes people are prayed for, and you know there's nothing that happens. If there are people in the church, we want to then maybe begin to ask them some further questions or the next time we pray for them. For instance, and I shared this in the other class, and some of you were here at the time, so you remember Lisa Brandenburg. She was a girl in this Bible school here back about 10, 11, 12 years ago. Anyway, she had a problem with grinding her teeth. And it was so bad that her roommate, couldn't sleep. And she had these horrible headaches. She worked in the office there at the school while she was a student. And I remember we prayed for her. I mean, she was prayed for by the student body in the chapel service. Brother Seagraves and I had prayed for her together and different ones. And, you know, there's something wrong here. Why, she's not getting healing. And so I had a little book on how to pray for the sick. And in there it suggested for people with grinding teeth, may not always, but it said check for an unforgiving spirit. So I called Lisa and had my wife come in, and I asked Lisa, I said something, and I knew a little bit about her background, but I said, what's your relationship with your parents? Well, her dad had left home and she was young, and she had a real bitterness in her heart towards her dad. And he was an alcoholic and he'd been a disgrace to the family and so on and so forth. And so anyway, I said, well, you know, you've got to be able to forgive him. You don't want to see him lost, do you? And she thought a little bit, no. I said, well, you're probably the key to his salvation. And not only that, to your healing also. Because I said, God's not going to heal you as long as you've got that in your heart. I said, why don't we just pray? And so I prayed a little prayer, you know, Lord, forgive me for my feelings towards my dad, even though, you know, he wronged me and so forth, or, you know, these things. God forgive. And, you know, she had no more got the words out of her mouth when the power of God came on her. And she was instantly healed. I mean instantly. The headache left and the grinding of the teeth left. And the other exciting thing about that was she'd not heard from her dad in about 7 years. And the old school down on Cherokee Road, we just had a couple phones in the girls' dorm and it was an unlisted number. And she said, 2 days later, the phone rang. And it was a man on the other line. He says, I'm looking for Lisa Brandenburg. She said, this is her. He says, I'm your dad. She hadn't heard from him in 7 years. That's how God works. There's a tie there. There was a tie in that. And then after that, the relationship, you know, he sent, I remember that same year, he sent tickets to pay her way to go to be where her mother was. And 2 years later, she testified to that here at the Landmark Conference. And she said her relationship with her dad was, you know, was much, much better and so on and so forth. And she'd been to the dentist, and they had, it was thousands of dollars of work she was going to have done on her jaw and her teeth. She went back to the dentist. He said, "You're fine." I mean, it was a miraculous healing. But it was because, you see, there was a problem there, deeper than just coming forward and being prayed. And a lot of times you'll run into that, especially, now it seems like a sinner can come in off the street sometimes that knows nothing hardly about God and can get healing. Because God has mercy on them. But a person that's in the church, and generally we're dealing with church people, a lot of times there's things there that go way back. People are offended. People are hurt. Maybe they've been hurt by a former pastor, preacher. Maybe it's somebody, family member. And they come be prayed for. They want to be prayed for. You have to get across to them. No, you have to ask for forgiveness first. Because the Lord said if you don't, He said you're going to be tormented. And if they're not willing to face that and do that. See, if they'll admit that and say, yeah, I'm going to forgive them by the grace of God. You may not forget, but you're forgiven them. Your heart, then God, that opens the door for God to heal, God to work and do other things in their lives. So this is one of the areas that I believe is in the healing process. See, we're in the process not of just praying for people, but ministering to them, to see them delivered, to see them set free. I'm trying to give you everything I can here in the short time that we have. But when you pray, after you have, say a person has a bad shoulder or arm, and you have commanded that pain to go, then don't say, well, you know, is the pain still there? So what happened to the pain? Or get them to move it. See? Get them to move. Now, in the other session, there was a girl that had a problem with her arm and her hand. She couldn't, and here she was moving it. And there's another lady there that had, last night she couldn't even hardly move her arms, or this morning when she came to the class, she had her arm up and she was praising, she was crying. And right there, you see, it was, okay, I said, have her in person, or move the part of the body, you know. And many times, you see, the man stretched forth his hand. Jesus healed that man. He said, stretch forth thine hand. That's an act of faith right there on their part. Getting them to do something. Getting to it. See, sometimes we're afraid to do, well, I'm not going to ask them because what if they didn't get healed? Well, why pray? Why pray? You see, we don't have to feel embarrassed. We're not the healer. We're just doing what the Lord says. But so many times you'll get this kind of funny look on their face. Well, it's gone. Pain's gone. Amen. Now, sometimes the symptoms, the devil will try to come put the symptoms back on people, say, after warm. Hey, if that symptom comes back, just rebuke it, stand against it, say, Satan, God's healed me, I stand against this in Jesus' name. And we've had many testimonies of people like that where maybe a little bit later that's tried to come back, but as soon as they took a stand against it, it was gone for good. Praise God. Well, is there anybody here this morning, maybe one that right now that you would like, you're in pain and you'd like to be healed? All right, sister, why don't you come? Are you too? Okay, why don't you come up? Now, those of you that would like to be used, why don't you come? Two ladies, come and stand by these women. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, you want to go with this sister over here? Now, why don't you just, we'll just... See what happens here. That's all right. Lord bless you, folks. Yes. Okay, why don't you come up here, and we need another lady to come that wants to be used the Lord today. All right. And now, you ladies, you're going to interview them and just ask them. You already know about this sister here. But don't do anything yet. Don't do any praying other than just find out what's wrong with them, okay? You go ahead and do that. You don't have to tell the rest of us. Okay, don't do anything right yet, but if you can't put your hand, if it's a case where you have them put their hand fairly close to where the problem is, you put your finger or hand on theirs. If you can do that, like if she's got a, okay, yeah, you just put your hands there, both hands maybe on her sides of her face. Just, no, both sides of her face, yeah, if that's there. Okay. All right, now what you're going to do, you're just say in the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Just say that right now. Look at the person. Keep your eyes open. All right, now command that whatever the problem is to go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Kiyamahaso. Kiyamahaso. Thank God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, do we have any testimonies?
I had TMJ on my left side of the jaw. It was clicking a lot, and this past week it's been locking. And right now it's not clicking. It's, you know.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen. As you started praying, I started believing also, and I felt something go right through me. And my hair stood on end. I was just like, I felt it because I was also praying for myself because I've been having pain. Not just today, but ever since the last birth of my last child 8 years ago, I have constant pain my upper body. And so I said, well, the Holy Ghost is here. I'm going to pray that, you know, God relieves this for me. And I prayed for myself, and I just kind of took advantage of the Holy Spirit, you know, realm. And I believed also. And I just felt it come right through my head and out the bottom of my toes. And I just felt, you know, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I just want to thank God for healing my body. I was hurting so bad this morning. That's why I was late coming to the session, because I just couldn't move. I just couldn't get myself together. And I just told the Lord, I'm going, because I know God has something for me. And I just thank and praise God. And even when he was splitting up the sessions and stuff, and I was saying, Lord, you know, where do you want me to go? Because I need a healing this morning. And I was in the bathroom, you know, because I was hurting so bad. And when I came out, the sister had came in, and I asked her, you know, what class was she going to? Because I didn't quite hear everything that he was saying because I had to go to the bathroom. And she said she was in the class of healing. And I said, and it just immediately dropped in my spirit. And I just thank and praise God for just bringing me in here. And I'm telling you, I can move my hands, I can move my legs, and I'm just having pain from my thighs all the way down and all across my chest and stuff, and I can hardly breathe or anything. I just feel good. Ooh, hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Remember, if you feel any symptoms come back, just rebuke it. Say, Satan, get out of here. God's healed me. Hallelujah.